Jerk it, Jiminy.
You guys are mean people.
I almost spit my beer out. That was awesome.
I'm just simply trying to watch a video on the internet that is about Star Trek and the new Star Trek movie, and you guys are making fun of me.
Well, speaking of Jiminy, you know, we could meet Jiminy when we go to Fogo. I heard he's a big fan of that place.
Are you really going to make me go listen to that episode?
What are you talking about?
Huh?
You're really going to make me go listen to that episode.
So welcome, everyone.
Wow.
No, that's a segue.
Wow.
You can't even do it again, Cor. We're already in the show now. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. We're done.
I don't want to go back and listen to it.
Financial with a long time.
Oh, yeah, so who's that that doesn't want to listen to it? That's Corbin Hostler, Corbin the Hustler, Corbin, a.k.a. Community Event Coverage Guy. Corbin, say hi to everybody.
Hey, I'm Corbin. This is everybody else who's trying to make me go listen to the podcast from 2 weeks ago.
I'm also going to be giving you a new title, Corbin, here pretty quick. You're about to be the new talent.
I'm excited.
Yes, Ryan, the old talent, is now going to pass on the title to Corbin, the new talent, because, you know, Ryan now shows up on time when we say we're going to record at 12 midnight. He shows up at 12 midnight, where Corbin, he rolls around like 12:30, 12:45, like how the talent is supposed to. So he's about to be bestowed.
Hey, Corbin, why don't you let everybody at home know why you weren't there on time today?
I was taking a nap, and I figured you guys would text me if it was time to go, and then you didn't.
I mean, that's not the dumbest logic ever, it actually turns out. Like, we probably should have been like, someone text Corbin, he's just sleeping, we're like,
yeah, we shouldn't have
I can't believe this asshole isn't
late,
here.
Though.
How unprofessional.
Why don't you just set an alarm? You have a cell phone. Every cell phone has an alarm on it.
Yeah, man, if there's one thing we're known for, it's for being punctual with what time we start the podcast.
I mean, Jason, didn't you have a show today? You were doing some stand-up comedy and you had to leave the show so that you could be here in time.
Some of us make sacrifices for this podcast. That's just personal choices that some of
hey,
us make.
Hey, I cut my nap short, okay? I woke up and got on. I could have still been sleeping.
Hey, you should be on the money drive. You sound like you would fit in very well with them. You're taking them power naps, huh?
He's got to give himself a blazer first.
So, you know, we also got some other people on the cast or other person. We could probably call him the real talent, though.
Ooh, that's true.
We'll see. It could be the future pro. Who knows?
Oh, I think he's current pro now. If everybody doesn't know this guy, this is Raymond Perez Jr., Ray Future Pro on Twitter, and we might be naming him a Rookie of the Year. Hashtag Ray for Rookie. How you doing, Ray?
Good, good. How's it going, everyone? Glad to be back once again.
So wait a minute. What is this that we're talking about? Because there's a big controversy. If you guys didn't hear from the last time that we spoke, two people got banned for cheating. We got rid of Bertuccini, for the best of the community. And I will definitely say that, like, this is a great positive for 3 years. And there's another guy, Humphreys, that's got banned for 4 years for doing some slick hand motions with shuffling cards. But now we have a third person that's actually being discussed. There's video footage that people are going over that doesn't look good in his favor. There's nothing official yet as of the date we record, but I mean, the verdict's out by many members of the community, and it's just going to be a matter of time to see if Wizards does step up and what they're going to do about the situation. But Ray, you want to shed some light on it?
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of stuff out there, so I've watched the videos myself. If you really guys really want to look, you just go on Reddit. I mean, it's super big, but there's like probably a good 17 or 18 videos of suspicious shuffling from Jared Betcher, and I'm not the DCI, so I can't like officially say anything. But you know, what I've seen in the videos, and what many other people have seen in the videos, including like Eric Froelich and many other high name people, or just community members in general, it's pretty clear his motivations. And while it may affect other people in different ways, it affects me personally, just because he was the one who won Rookie of the Year, and I was the one next up in line. In a race that I thought I lost legitimately, but
I remember you came on the podcast and you actually gave him congratulations because it was a hard earn. You worked very hard this year. You earned 33 pro points, just too shy of gold. And I remember you were on the podcast and you gave him congratulations, like, you know, like how you're supposed to. And now this situation where basically being cheated out of your title, is that like how does that feel personally? Like really, like, I mean, this is
it's pretty devastating, honestly. A lot of people know how passionate I was about the rookie race. Everyone from, I actually wrote an article that's going to be up hopefully, within the next day or two that says a lot of what I'm about to say right here, but just to, give the audience, you know, another side of it. A lot of people like, Brian David Marshall have interviewed me and they've all seen how much this care, like this matters to me. Everyone from Jacob Van Luden and on. And basically when, he was announced a rookie, you know, I congratulate him. I was at the Pro Tour when he got announced and he came and showed me the award and I got to hold it in. You know, I told him, hey man, good job. You know, it is what it is. And then I just set my sights on, you know, making the rest of my Pro Tour career and trying to go for Player of the Year because that's all I had left at that point. And, obviously I'm a lot far off from that point, but like that's like the next goal of mine is like, okay, well, if I can't get my rookie, then I'm going to try and become a player. And, the first time someone mentioned it to me over the last weekend, you know, I was like, it is what it is. I'll look into it. My phone was basically dead because I was at the TCG player, 50K. And when I got home that night, or rather when I got back to my hotel that night, I pulled up all the videos. And by that time, there was probably a good 15 videos of, his shuffling being analyzed, like they did with Trevor Humphreys and Alex Brancini videos and a lot of stuff that people do in the past. And I felt real devastated. Like, I don't know. It feels like there's such an emotional roller coaster where I'm the only one in the race at the beginning of the year. And then Jared Betcher came out of nowhere and put up some really good finishes. And then it's like, okay, we got a good race. And then when he started gaining so much speed on me, I knew that going into the last Pro Tour, I wasn't qualified for it. And for me to even have a shot at rookie, I had to get qualified for it. So I skipped my friend's wedding to, you know, I think I actually came on the podcast maybe and talked about it, but like, I skipped my friend's wedding to win a PDQ for the last Pro Tour. And I knew that I had to either basically top eight or win the Pro Tour to become rookie. And so when I like missed gold and missed rookie, you know, I had a lot of emotions come with that after like all the time that I put in. And it was a lot of people know that it's very frustrating for me to not succeed when I felt like I had the ability to. And then to see that it could all have been a lie, revalidated myself like, okay, well, you did do well and you did deserve this and it was actually real. So now I'm in this lull where, you know, I don't know what to expect yet because the DCI hasn't made a statement. WOTC hasn't made a statement. So there's a lot of controversy going on, like what's going to happen to the rookie of the year spot and the player champs if he does get suspended, what's going to happen to the title itself, what's going to happen to stuff in the future. There's no language on this because this is a very unique scenario. It's never happened in the history of Magic, and I don't know. It's kind of exciting to be part of it, but at the same time, you never know what could happen. And that's the big emotional roller coaster I'm currently going through because it's, I don't know if I should be angry. I don't know if I should be sad. I don't know if I should be happy. Like, there's a lot of things I'm not sure how I feel yet.
Yeah, because a lot of things are uncertain right now because, like, say if he does get banned and you do get bestowed Rookie of the Year, currently to the rules that the big thing that's online is Worlds. So it's a 16-man tournament. Now, Rookie of the Year gets to attend Worlds. That's a big deal, especially for you. I know for you for as hard as you worked. But right now, according to Helene Bergeau, nothing against her, not that she's doing anything wrong, but to the rules of what's going on, that it goes to the next pro player at large with the next pro points, which would be, Fennell, I believe.
Yeah, I think Chris Fennell. He's a three-way tie with someone, but I think that his pro tour top eight is what beats all the other two players in the tie.
Yeah, so there's nothing against Fennell. I mean, if by the rules, if that's what it is, he gets it, then, you know, like, then that's what it is, you know, it's the rules. But it's just, it seems very, very unfair that, you know, to take away the Rookie of the Year title and not allow them to attend Worlds based on this cheating. It's like, this is an extreme case. Now, like, we were talking about last week with Star City Games where Humphreys, he won, he was first place, and that distributing the prizes to the other players creates this weird situation because you never know what the player could have won based on the cheating here. Right now, we got a clear and direct number two in the Rookie of the Year race. This is not something that's arbitrary that could have been or what could have happened. It's pretty clear right here based on the situation. So, like, and the uniqueness of this, like, I feel like, you know, Wizards needs to step up. do what's right. You know, if he does get banned for this and he's found guilty with by the DCI, you know, you should be reinstated Rookie of the Year and that you should be attending Worlds. Nothing against Fresnel, nothing like about that, but I just feel that it's right for the community. Like anybody, even if it wasn't for you, it's just, you know, if anybody got cheated out of this situation, I think, you know, just it's right for the Rookie of the Year to get what is due to them.
Well, I know when they first made the player championship, it was 16 players, and then starting this year, they expanded it to, I believe, 24 players, or it might still only be 16 players, but I know Rookie got one of the spots. And when they first wrote the language on in the event of a competitor not being able to compete for whatever reason, it would get passed down. Well, when they wrote that, they didn't have Rookie of the Year in that spot. So it's kind of like how it is in anything in life, like the Miranda laws and all that stuff. Like there has to be some type of precedent to be set before they can make that decision. And so this is the first year that Rookie's been there, and I think this might have been the first year that this type of allegation has actually been aimed at the Rookie.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think there's ever been
so like this is a very unique spot that we're all sitting in. And I think that even like, obviously the logical thing to do is the next person in line, even if it was me, because in the beginning I thought it was, or honestly, Neil Oliver, because once I knew that I didn't do well enough at the last Pro Tour, I kind of just put it in the back of my line or back of my mind that I knew I wasn't first. So it didn't matter what place I was in at that point. And then when I contacted Neil, he's like, no, I only ended with 30. I'm pretty sure you're ahead of me. And I looked at the official standings. Like, even if it wasn't me in this scenario, like, going forward, let's say in the next, like, 4 or 5 years, this happens again type deal. Like, they need to put something out there that says, this is what's going to happen if they keep making the Rookie spot an actual spot. And so I think that before, that makes sense, but now it doesn't make sense. And then even then, if they do pass the crown, do I get my ceremony, like, the Rookie's supposed to get? Do I get the player card that the Rookie got with all the Platinum Pros last year? Do I get the award? Like, there's a lot of things that, it's just a lot of things that are unknown at this point, and it's kind of frustrating to be in the situation in the first place. But, you know, I guess we'll just have to cross all the bridges as they happen.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note, too, that it's not like a lot of years where you have one rookie that pulls, like, so far ahead and just crushes the rest of people, like you were saying.
Alexander Haynes is the only one that, like, basically blew everyone out the water because he won the Pro Tour.
Right, like if it had been any other year, you would have been Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
So really, you did earn it this year. It's not like, oh, the person who just crushed everybody got DQ'd and so we're going to hand it down to this person who did okay.
Right.
You had really good finishes. You had, what, a top 50 and a top 16 at the
Pro
Tour?
Top 16, a top 50, a top 50, and then a top 64 at a GP. And everyone else under, like, starting with me, like, everyone's a couple points in between each other. Like, I'm 33 points. The Neil Oliver's 30 points. I don't want to butcher the guy's name. The guy who is, from, I believe, Sweden. I'm pretty sure that he had 30 points or 29 points as well. Like, everyone was very close to each other at the very end of it. And so, only person that was miles ahead was Betcher.
Right. So there was a rookie race. Except for the person who is being accused of right now.
Right.
So if that person does end up being, you know, truthfully accused of, like, it doesn't make sense not to pass that down.
Yeah.
It's not like he had 30 and you're the next person and I had 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, what we want to imply to our listeners or the fans, people that care about the situation and feel like, you know, Ray has been unjustly sued, you need to let it be known that you feel that, you know, if Jared Betcher gets, you know, banned from the DCI, that the proper thing should happen for Ray. So, I mean, we're going to do the hashtag Ray for Rookie. That's, again, if everything goes through and the DCI comes through with the verdict. And we need to push this. We need to get vocal because Wizards has been known to change their public policy based upon the way that us, the customers, are being vocal. That happened with the Modern Pro Tour. You know, they listened to us. And if this is something that you really feel was an injustice that happened, then let it be known. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a bunch of, like, we bitch and moan about everything that's really insignificant. And here's something that, you know, I think everyone could relate to and is actually pretty significant. So if you got the time to be vocal about it, you know, it is, we don't know exactly who to reach. Helene Bergeau is definitely one. Aaron Forsythe's another. Twitter is a good way to go about it. I'm sure you could tweet at the Wizards account, Magic Online, various people. Just let it be known. So, we're gonna let you know about this, but everyone, please support Ray, you know, to support just the Rookie of the Year in general so that, you know, a situation like this doesn't happen again in the future. And, you know.
And Watsy definitely has the ability to make something right that has, like, it's one thing, like, for instance, let's say there was a prize purse that went with it, like the $40,000 or something, like, you know, in the past. Like, there's no money attached to this. This is something that they can physically make, right, very easily. And I don't, like, it just would, it would baffle me if they don't. And if they don't, then, like, what does that say to the people that want to look for the rookie? Like, the rookie is a very prestigious thing. Like, not many people get to have that title ever in their career. And so what is that going to say to the rest of the people? Like, oh, why would I even want to become rookie? Because let's say I get cheated out of the rookie, then it's still a wash. Like, I don't know. It's a thing that I think that it has the ability to go right, and then it has the ability to go very wrong. And I guess we'll just see what happens.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, Watsi does the right thing. And
I think there's really just two different points to this right here. One is whether or not you get the rookie title. And
right.
Then the second is whether or not the perks of the rookie title come along with that.
Right.
And so really, like, at least the first of those needs to be addressed. And from there, you know, everything else should fall in line. But, I mean, I could say on a personal note, I'm obviously biased in the subject, but I've watched Ray personally because he's from my area work, and I've never seen somebody work so hard to, like, just get there. I mean, 3 years ago, you weren't even on the competitive circuit.
Right.
And I've never seen someone put so much time in. There's a lot of people who are naturally good at Magic, a lot of people who you just get the game, and you got there, but then you also just put in the time and effort. I mean, like, hundreds and hundreds of hours of playtesting for these pro tours and stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, this is all under the assumption that Jared does in fact get banned. So, I mean, that's going to be step one in all of this, because without that, then this literally doesn't mean anything. But even if he doesn't get banned, I think that Watsi still needs to reevaluate their policy and the way that if this scenario ever comes up again in the future, they at least have something to go off. So at the very worst, they still need to set that precedent regardless of what happens here.
Exactly. So let's move on to a new precedent. I hope we didn't be too much of a downer. I hope people are energized and invigorated to do something.
Everybody's used to it. It's election season, so I mean, falling right in line, right?
That's right.
Oh, this is your public service announcement. And so, Starbury advocates Raymond Perez.
We have an update. Jared Betcher was found guilty of cheating. He was stripped of the Rookie of the Year title and received a 46-month ban. Ray was announced as the new Rookie of the Year, and he will be attending Worlds. Thank you, Wizards. Thank you for doing the right thing. We got Ray's reaction to this at the end of the podcast, but right now we'll go back to your regular scheduled program. So let's jump into something to get the listeners back in. Let's do some picks of the week.
Pick of the week, pick of the week, pick of the week. Time for the pick of the week.
What?
Week first, I like it, we're mixing it up.
What are you doing? You lunatic?
I run this train, you gotta realize that shit.
Yeah, but you just like jumped the tracks. And you're headed to the station sideways.
Yeah, well, we're doing picks of the week. We just gotta get people that's what they like the most about our cast, if anything, is the picks of the week. So give them what they want, and then we might have some good
stuff.
You're
basing that on nothing.
I'm basing that off a lot of evidence. I had scientific facts. I did blind studies, and I got the truth. And Jason, I don't care what kind of lies you try to spew out your mouth. It's all going to get reputed.
All right, so who's going first?
He cleverly combined the word refuted and the word repudiated, I think.
At least I know when I do fuck up and I just...
Yeah, it's fine. We just overlook it, Marcel.
I was like, oh, I should try to say something, but I'm not. I'm just going to let it be there.
So we haven't heard from the talent yet. How about he gives us his pick of the week first?
He fell asleep.
Well, I would have to have known that Marcel was going to jump the tracks to have my pick of the week ready.
Oh, see, he wasn't ready. There you go.
I wasn't.
This just says everybody, our picks of the week, we have a lot of faith in them because we think of them over the 45 minutes we're podcasting.
Basically, this is
true. I've had my pick of the week for like 4 days now.
Oh, shut up about it.
I'll go first. That way nobody can steal mine. My pick is Remand.
Remand? Whoa.
I know it's just Remand.
And everyone was expecting the price to tank, and it's still holding at $10. It's slowly gone up, and it's not much at all. There's not much been much movement on the market at all. But with Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time becoming these problems, everyone's worrying, you know, is it going to be banned? Is it going to be restricted? All these different formats. Remand is not only a great way to kind of counteract these abilities. Like, if you remand a Treasure Cruise or you remand a Dig Through Time, that's going to feel miserable. But on top of that, it's also very good in the decks running the Treasure Cruises and Dig Through Times. So I think, you know, if the card doesn't get banned, remands are a great pickup. And even if it does, I don't foresee the card getting printed, reprinted anytime soon, and it's going to steadily climb anyway as Modern comes back in prices.
Well, it might, I think it will get reprinted if there is a Modern Masters 2 coming up.
You think it's going to be in there even with the dual deck reprint? I mean, I can definitely see it, but I don't know that it's the first thing on their radar.
I don't think so, man.
I think it'll be there.
In Modern Masters, but...
But you think stuff that was in Modern Masters 1 will be in Modern Masters 2, and I
think Tarmogoyf will be, yes.
Yeah.
I think it probably... Tarmogoyf and Bob have to be, right?
I'll make that call now. I don't think Goyf's going to be in it.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I think Remand will... I think Remand and either or both Sleight of Hand and Serum Visions will be in there.
I can definitely see Sleight of Hand and Serum Visions. I mean, that's a whole other conversation. Let's not start speculating.
I'm just saying, I think that
you know
these,
what? I think for Modern Masters 2, they're going to create a posse and go around America and destroy copies of Tarmogoyf and make the price go up.
I think that if it's a $10 uncommon, that's extremely likely to be reprinted just like Kitchen Finks was, even if it has, you know, even, like Kitchen Finks had a keyword that was not in the rest of the set, and it was
Kitchen
still reprinted.
Finks was playable and limited. Remand is not super exciting and limited.
It's not bad, actually.
Wasn't Murderous Recap or Red Cap and
yeah, there were like what, two? That was it, right?
Well, there was three of them. There's Glen Archmage too.
Yeah,
blown out, Corbin.
I mean, it's not really blown out. The point is,
all three
the
of these
point
cards is funny, and Ray knows them.
All the reason why is because they're modern playable.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. And all of those
who did better at the Modern Masters?
Oh. He did. Corbin was one win away from the Pro Tour. That is true.
Yeah, that happened.
He knows that set, except Glenn the Linger Archmage came out of nowhere.
But
got
I was...
him twice.
The point is, Remand doesn't even matter because it's not even a keyword. I'm just saying, I fully expect a $10 uncommon to be in the set.
And I fully expect a $10 uncommon to be 15 or 20 by that point.
So, Ryan, which one do you think is a better pickup? Damn it, who's got their... it should be.
He hasn't replaced the batteries in his Cricket yet.
Oh my god, his Cricket.
You gotta make sure to lick the battery, see if there's power left.
Replacing the batteries in the Cricket, you made it sound, by implying it had batteries, sounds like it's like a small vibrator.
It is.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
He's
right
talking
now
about your pocket rocket.
He's talking about a marital aid, Corbin.
What? Okay, it's one smoke detector I can't reach. Come on.
So Ryan, which one do you think is the better pickup, to get the Ravnica one or to get the Jace versus Vraska?
I mean, they're sitting right about the same price. I would probably go for the Ravnica ones.
Just
because they're older. I mean, either one I think is a fine pickup. I think if I see them right now, I'm not going to go dump cash into these. I don't think that the margins on it is going to be great enough that you're going to want to buy into a bunch of them. Because there is obviously some risk associated. Nobody knows what Modern Masters 2 has in store. We can speculate it all we want.
Or that Modern Masters 2 even exists.
I'm sure it does. I mean,
we all think it does. I'm just saying.
What if it turns out to be Vintage Masters?
The fact that Remand might be in it. But either way, I don't necessarily know that I want to spend cash on them. But anytime I see them in somebody's binder, I'm happy to trade for these at 10. The card is extremely modern playable. I mean, it's going to be a staple. And if it's not reprinted, the card is just going to continuously go up. And if Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time don't both get, you know, banned and modern, I see that card pretty much doubling here the next
that
year.
Is a real panting if they go to Treasure Cruise and you remand it.
Yeah,
you can play it next turn.
It's almost as embarrassing as not having the remand and just getting Treasure Cruise out of the game, because that card is fair.
It's almost as embarrassing as not having your pick of the week when you got called on it.
Oh!
I'll go next.
No, I'll go next.
How can you can't even make me feel bad about that.
A couple weeks ago.
We all have picks of the week get sniped or not be ready. And I have a good one.
You're not going to pick my pick of the week because it's Moto.
Nobody picks
all right.
You know what? No, Corbin, you wanted time to get ready. You take that time to get ready. I'm going to go next.
Okay,
my pick of the week.
You're terrified of getting it stolen.
Oh, yeah. My pick of the week is the Chain Veil.
What?
Who's going to steal that?
It's bulk. It's a bulk mythic right now. The Chain Veil is going to be very popular in EDH when we get five brand new Planeswalkers and people, A, want to play Planeswalkers as their general, and B, want to build Super Friends. So I think that Planeswalkers are going to be more popular than ever going into Commander 2014. And out of everything I've seen so far, the Chain Veil being a bulk mythic, 35 cents cash, boom. Just pick them up.
You got a good point there, Dan.
That's a pretty good pick, actually.
I guess you can't get any lower.
What did you think of, like, oh, the chain veil for standard? No. Commander 2014, there's going to be 5 brand new planeswalkers, playable as generals. Planeswalkers are never going to be more popular than they will be in a couple weeks.
And they're $10 for the foils. What do you feel about that?
They're at a pretty low reprint risk, but I said that about Cryptgast too. They're at a pretty low reprint risk, but at $10 for foil, that sounds about right. Poor I don't see them going above like 12 for another 12 months. So if you can trade for the foils, that seems fine. And I think if you drop like $30 on, you know, maybe 60 of the non-foil copies, you can do some real damage to the market. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's a real solid pickup, and I really think that if the price moves, it'll stick.
Yeah, I actually have to agree with Jason. And while we're on the topic of Cryptgast for a second, Dave Corbin, a little more time. I think we should all.
I'm still ready.
All burn a candle in Cryptgast's honor for the fact that it's joining the group of lingering souls as cards that will take years and years and years to be worth money because Wizards has a vendetta against them.
Oh, God, the Cryptgast reprint.
Commander deck as well.
No, so I was thinking Cryptgast has a keyword ability on it, so the reprint risk is low. I'm like, the only way they reprint Cryptgast is if they made some sort of mono-black EDH deck, but that'll never happen.
Event decks or something, too? Like, it had already been reprinted once, I'm pretty sure.
It was in an event deck, but, like, nobody cared.
Yeah, but the event deck still hurts cards like that are casual and trying to make their way up. Like, the only reason Parallel Lives became worth money in Standards because it didn't get printed in an event deck. Cryptgast probably would have been the same price as Parallel Lives had it not been reprinted right away.
Chainville's going for $1.30 TCG mid.
Nice.
So do you think it's a good buy-in at that?
Yeah, I'd pick a buck.
Yeah.
About a buck.
No, it's fine.
All right.
I mean, your bare minimum out is 60 cents, so it's not like you have a huge risk control.
So Ray, are we going to say
the guest
thing? I think
what I did was actually
thing.
Cite my buy list price. So sorry about that. It's like Marcel said, it's a buck and change. I think that's fine.
All right. So now I'll go with my pick of the week. Corbin,
I have my pick. Let me go.
Corbin, it's fine, man. Let's
time. So my pick of the week is going to be a Moto one. It's going to be Jay's Memory Adept. Right now you can pick up M12 copies for $1.25. This was a card that when in standard, it reached up to $16. This is probably the lowest it's ever been ever. I don't think, sitting on some copies right now, and if it ever gets, you know, brought back into standard or played at any point, that you're going to make your money back and you're going to make it back in some pretty significant multipliers. So I think this is a good card to pick up on again, to sit on and to wait, but I don't think you can go wrong.
You think this has a chance of getting reprinted in standard? There's only going to be one more core set ever.
You have a point, but yeah, I think it'll see play at some point.
So, see, I like Planeswalkers as a, like, no-brainer pickup if they, you know, get below a certain threshold in paper, because you can always ship those to casual players. Casual players aren't really picking up digital Planeswalkers just to kind of have them in their digital collection. So your outs are a little bit more limited, but so you're basically saying at a buck or 1.25 ticks, it's real low risk then?
Real low risk. I don't think it's going to go any lower. I mean, it can't go below a dollar. I severely doubt that.
Now, is there any sort of format on Moto that's going to, like, grind the price up over time just because it gets... Because I know that Memory Adept spiked in paper because people were like, oh, Duskmantle Guildmage, that's a combo and you can just mill them out. So is
People were playing it because it was alternate win condition because of all the Sphinx's Revelations and Thrag Tests, and milling was actually viable. I mean, again, milling's very popular with casual players. There is a casual players on Moto. They're not as good as in paper, but it's there. And I mean, at this price, I just think that there's a lot of upside to it. For a really low downside of putting money into it, and it, at the very least, you spend $1.25, and if you really had to get out, you could sell it for probably $1 on buy list if you don't think it's going to do anything. But I think there's upside there.
Well, speaking of current standard cards, how about you, Ray? How do you feel about your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is a negative value pick. It's Nissa the Planeswalker for standard. I think she's overrated. I played her this weekend, and a lot of people I talked to play her. In the Abzan mid-range decks and other Abzan color decks, as well as other decks, but mainly just the Abzan ones that I'm speaking on. And everyone I talked to really, really didn't use her. She wasn't that impressive every time they brought her in, and I know going forward, I don't think she's gonna have that many slots in these decks. Even though Caleb Durward's deck, the red-green Court of Calling strategy that he had going, she was kind of impressive in that deck because he had so many basic forests, but outside of that, I think that's a very niche market, and she doesn't really deserve the price that she sits at.
That's fair. Yeah, I always thought she was going to go down post rotation because of all the shock lands going out. Mm-hmm. And I really think being able to use both of the abilities is what makes it a really good planeswalker. And it's a strong planeswalker, but yeah, again, you got Sarkhan, you got the dragon that could just reach over and just knock her out real easily. Yep. There's a lot of that being played. So yeah, she has a hard time keeping up, I believe.
I was expecting Mono Green to be a little bit bigger of a deal after rotation, so I thought she'd see a little more play in that. I think she's definitely, I agree, she's a good dump now, but I think at some point in her life in Standard, she could be potentially the same price again, because it doesn't take much for her to suddenly become playable again. That plus one ability to make 4/4 trampling lands, given the right format, is phenomenal.
Well, like, the thing with the control decks was that they all leaned very heavy on the Perilous Vault at the Pro Tour in the beginning of the format, but now everyone is starting to catch on with the End Hostilities being pretty playable, even though people were hating on it so hard, even myself. And Dune Blast is seeing a lot of play, like the Abzan decks, and even the Jeskai decks. They're playing End Hostilities in their list, and they're also playing Dune Blast, and both of those destroy the lands. In one of my feature matches, I had a scenario where I had Nissa. I sat it in on a whim to see how it would do, and I had two Nissas stuck in my hand. I eventually got one in play, and I eventually had to Dune Blast my land away because I had to blow up the board. And that just showed me that this is literally not good in any matchup but the blue-black control deck that's not even getting played.
Hmm. So what do you feel about Perilous Vault moving forward?
I think it's very good. It's one of the only sweepers you can have when you're a non-white control deck. We played it at the Pro Tour. A lot of people are still playing that blue-black deck. And I think it's solid. I think it's definitely one of the cards because it's from M15 that has the potential to spike up or pretty heavily, depending on how the decks form. I think that we need one more set for blue-black to be a huge contender in the metagame, but it's still missing a few cards, a few holes in the build just to be able to, you know, surpass what it's doing right now.
All right, so Ice Cream Bowl Man, what you got for us?
I've got one.
Are you ready to go, Corbin?
Are you sure you're ready?
I'm ready.
Do you need a minute?
Well, maybe. No.
All right. The Finance 101 section and come back.
Okay, let's do that.
Do we need to change the battery in your smoke detector?
The pick this week is from Magic 2014.
Did you hear Buffalo Wild Wings is opening up?
Oh, my gosh.
Corbin, Buffalo Wild Wings is raising their prices. What's the deal?
Yeah, they're trying to be FOGO.
I don't know. It's actually kind of unacceptable.
Did you not hear this? I thought you got the insider.
I did.
He knew.
It.
He was already incredulous on Facebook about it.
Man, they're raising like 30, it's like 2 or 3% they're raising the prices. It's unacceptable.
So how much are your boneless wings going to be now? Are they going to still have the promotion?
Well, instead of 60 cents, they might be 65 cents each. That's not okay.
Oh, ouch.
Corbin, you're going to have to actually find a second job to support your Buffalo Wild Wings.
No more surges with your Wild Wings anymore. You got to drink it with water.
Mm. Yeah, it's rough life, really. So how about that pick of the week thing?
Why? We're already moving on. Where's the Finance 101? So for Finance 101 this week, we're going to be talking about, hold on, what's in the show notes? The docket.
The show notes that I made for you. The pick of the week this week is Young Pyromancer. The foil copy, you know, for a long time it was $10 to $15, and then it had a hard spike up to 40 plus, and it kind of leveled out after that. But in the past week or two, basically the past week, it's gone back up another $5, and the reason is because Blue-Red Delver is not just good in Legacy with Treasure Cruise, it's extremely good in Modern, where Young Pyromancer is actually a key part of that deck. So if we can see $4 Soak the Flames from M15, I'm pretty sure that the sub-$2 Young Pyromancer, which as far as I know has no additional printings, it could definitely be one of those uncommons that sinks up on you as $4 or $5 in a year. Of course, if it is reprinted in any of these Commander decks, or I wouldn't expect it in a Modern Masters 2, but it's possible. And there's one more core set. Those are the big risks to reprint. But if that does not happen, this is the next, you know, Kitchen Finks special procession in the next few years.
That's fair.
It's $4 or $5.
That's a good call. I like it. I think you're right there. This is the premier 2-drop, red 2-drop. Too bad it's not a rare, but, I mean, is that too bad? Now you can get in. It's a great card. It's good to see it. But we'll see what happens with Delver, and we'll see what happens with Treasure Cruise, because it's sounding like Treasure Cruise just might be getting banned, or at least restricted.
Well, restricted doesn't mean anything, right? That only applies to Vintage, and nobody cares about that. I think it could very well be banned in Modern. I think Legacy is more able to adapt to something like that, but Modern, I think it's so far been pretty warping.
Well, Vintage, they say, is probably definitely going to be restricted because...
Ponder is banned in Modern. I can't see Treasure Cruise being allowed to continue.
Not when you got everybody. You got Sam Pardee no longer playing Pods, so you can play some Treasure Cruises. You know, something's wrong with the world.
And I really don't want to have to put Fetchlands into my Merfolk deck just so I can cruise.
And what about that burn deck that won the Saito tournament that was like a burn deck splashing blue for Treasure Cruise?
Yeah, it's just the card is everywhere, and the more time you give it in Modern, the more everywhere it will be.
See?
Because, I mean, Ancestral, like, it's hard to count, it's hard to fight against Ancestral, right?
It's going to be everywhere in Standard, too. Absence Splash and Blue for Treasure Cruise is really
I think that card could have cost 10 mana and still been all over the place in Modern.
Let me give a shout out to Kevy Metal, because he saw Treasure Cruise and he was trying to jam it in his burn deck, and he was trying to do everything he could to make that happen, so give him props for being on top of that one.
Yeah, that's surprising, since the only thing he plays is burn.
Marcel just fell back off the no shoutouts in the middle of the episode wagon.
That shark has been jumped 3 episodes ago.
Yeah, we lost listeners permanently.
I still get shit about it now, even on Twitter.
I played Treasure Cruise this past weekend. I was very excited.
Yeah, he
I played Magic.
In his 50K day.
I did. I played in the 50K this past weekend. I only played 2 rounds because I got bored. But
because I got bored. What was your record after 2 rounds?
It was 0-2. It was really boring.
All right, so it was 0-1-1. However,
oh,
like,
my God.
So the first round, I
so boring.
No, hold on. I drew with
nobody
the Magic
wants
first.
This. Nobody wants to hear this. I promise you.
So I drew with the guy in the first round. And this is why you want to hear this. I changed out 2 lands out of Abs, and I played 4, or I played 2 Treasure Cruise in the main. That was
awesome.
It. Just there for the mirror match, more or less, and for the control matchup. Because, like, everything in that deck is 1-for-1, so, like, the way you beat the mirror match is just to, like, finally get that 2-for-1 or a couple of 2-for-1s, and you just pull ahead and card advantage. And so, like, the easiest way I figured to do that was potentially a splash. People are running Read the Bones now, might be better, but, like, I wanted to play Treasure Cruise because I'm crazy. So round 1, I play with a guy who I came with, and he's playing Abzan as well. And I think game 1, he crushed me. Game 2, I crushed him. Game 3, it came down to a pretty long game, and I was able to, through Treasure Cruises, be able to draw a bunch of cards, and I definitely would have gotten that game. Like, we both agreed on that. However, we just drew because, like, we came together, whatever. We ended up going to time and drawing in game 3. And round 2, I play against this guy who I actually knew. You know Donnie? It's Donnie's friend. Asian Donnie.
Oh, Don Lee.
Yeah, Don Lee. There you go. Sorry, not Donnie. It was his friend.
Speaking
and he's
of
playing
Donnie,
like mono white mid-range. He's playing like mono white mid-range. And the deck was, like, it was super cute. I liked where he was trying to go with it. And, like, the night before, he wanted to test, and we were playing against each other, and I ended up, like, 3-0-ing him or 4-0-ing him. It was really bad for him. Like, he couldn't beat Abzan. And so round 2, of course, me not having played Magic in a while, they give us the random deck check. And so the random deck check comes around, and I end up having missed one of my temples. So I get a game 1 loss. And then game 2, there was a point when, like, I stuck on mana, I potentially could have come back, and he ended up just being able to get me on my mulligan to 5. So, yeah, I got bored after that, and yes, I did quit.
Great. All right, so just checking, did anybody care about that?
I was waiting for, like, a voice that sounded like Ryan's to stop talking so I could reengage my brain.
Well, Ryan's a scumbag. He submitted a 59-card deck, trying to get away with that.
I did. I completely screwed up. I was switching my temples around last second. I forgot to write down the 1 Temple of Silence I decided.
All right, so the moral of this story is that Ryan's dumb, and we should move on to a reader email.
Hold on, no, we should hear what Ray did, because Ray was that TCG
player.
Well,
I suppose that's probably worth talking about.
Yeah, he played Absent Midrange as well.
Why don't you let Ray tell the story, Ryan?
Yeah, I was going to be like, I am here. You can tell the story. But no, yeah, I played Abzan mid-range. I had the 2 buys that I won, like, way back in April or whatever, because there's a lot of TCG player tournaments here. And, started out day 1 pretty good. Had a couple feature matches, 7-0, and then lost my last 2 rounds to Jeskai, Ascendancy Combo, Mark Anthony, who eventually top 8-ed, and Ben Weinberg playing mono red. And then day 2,
Wait. How do you lose to mono red with a deck that's got Siege Rhino in it?
So basically, they have the ability to make Siege Rhino not that good, which is, like, it wasn't surprising to me because I got to play test, like, probably about 40 games versus it. But before that happened, I thought that it was impossible. And the key to the that happening is Hammer Hand and Frenzy Goblin, because they're able to get in a good point or a good amount of damage in the first two turns. Like, they can attack you for 5 with a Chrome Crusader and a Titan Strength on turn 2 and something like that, you know. So, like, let's say you're at 12 or 15 and then you play a Siege Rhino and go back up to 12 or 15. And then they Hammer Hand attack you for 9 and then you can't really stabilize from there type deal. So it's fairly difficult unless you have main deck Vile Blades. But they can't actually live through a Drowning Sorrow. So that's the game plan going after sideboard. And against Weinberg, they just basically obliterate you game 1 and then you just hope to draw Vile Blade or Drowning Sorrow. And day 2, that's actually what happened. I had a winning in versus a very unique character that was playing mono red on camera, and game 1 he completely obliterated me, all the while telling me that he was going to crush me in front of everyone that was in the feature match area, and I was just laughing. And then he goes on a tangent about how if he, like, he was shuffling my deck and he wasn't moving the top card, and that's like the whole controversy type deal. So I told him, I was like, hey, you have to make sure to move my top card when you're shuffling. And he's like, don't worry, if I was going to cheat, it wouldn't be versus your deck because it's such a good matchup. And I went back and watched the coverage, and you can literally just see me look at him like, I can't believe you just said this. And they're like, or he's like, oh, my bad. That sounded real bad. And I was like, yeah, it did. You probably just shouldn't cheat. That's the point, right? And the other guy sitting next to him was like, oh, no, whatever. Tangent. But so on game 2, I ended up stabilizing. He had a 1-outer with a stoke. He didn't hit it. In game 3, I blew him out with 3 Bio Blades back-to-back turns. And then in top 8, I got crushed. And I have no idea why top 8's played on day 3, because we were done with day 2 at 3 p.m. And then I had to come back the next morning just to lose in the first round and be done by 11 a.m. and head home. But it was fun. It was good. I had a good time. And, yeah, Abzan's very strong. I'm probably just going to play it for a good while in standard. I think it's one of the top contending decks, and I'm okay with being, like, a quote-unquote boogeyman of the format, like Mono Black was or Control was last season.
I love Abzan. I'm glad to say that I finally got my Moto card, so I'm going to start playing with that. I'm glad to hear that you like it. And so what do you think about Sorin? I heard Sorin eats a bag of dicks. Which are
no, 100% no. So when we were testing Abzan for the Pro Tour, I had one copy I randomly threw in my deck because I opened one in a box, and I never drew it. So when we got to the Pro Tour house, I was like, I'm going to take out these cards and play 4 Sorin so I can actually see how this card does. Because I seen BBD did 4 in one of his lists. He played in an open. And the first time I drew it, it was very good. The next time I drew it, it was absurd, and it just kept getting better and better. We come to find out 4 is too many. A lot of lists play 2, but I personally play 3 in my list, and I love it. It swings the races so many times.
What do you do with it?
Usually the perfect curve is like Siege Rhino into Sorin, basically. That's like the ideal turn.
So you have something actually to use its +1 on?
Yeah, but like making a vampire is pretty legitimate a lot of times, because like in the other games that you don't have that, you usually have like a carry toot or a courser, so you have the ground covered and you're able to make a guy to start gaining value off it. And a lot of times after sideboards, you transform into like this wrath deck against other mid-range decks, and so you want to have a high concentration of planeswalkers between Liliana, Sorin, Elspeth, Ajani, so you can just wrath the board over and over and just be able to build up board without it. And I don't know, I love Sorin. I think he's very good. He's not a 4 of good in my deck, or in Abzan strategies, I think, but he's definitely between 2 and 3. 1, I shave down to 1 sometimes in certain matchups where his ability is not too relevant, like against the red-green deck, I shave down to 1 copy.
Jeskai Ascendancy, I assume, too.
Yeah, Jeskai Ascendancy, too, just because it's a little bit too slow. It's a 4-mana spell. But no, I love Sorin. I think he's very playable.
How often do you get to his ultimate? And how game-breaking is it?
Against mono or blue-black control, really. Like, that's the only matchup that they can actually beat it. Any other matchup is just kind of incidental thing where it's like, well, I guess I'll make this ultimate. Otherwise, I think this grinding or token after token is pretty good.
There you go. I thought it was good for the ultimate, and I'm being proven wrong.
No, I have the same feeling after playing Abzan, like, online and then the 50K this weekend and testing it a bunch. Like, Sorin is the nuts. I was completely wrong about that card.
Yeah,
and the ultimate's, like, that card doesn't even need the ultimate. Like, I think I've ultimated, like, 2 times ever.
If you ultimate Sorin versus blue-black control, they cannot beat you.
Right. Because they're Pearl Ancient and...
Well, yeah, because they flash in the Pearl Ancient and then get to hit you once and then they have to sacrifice it. Cause like, it doesn't have haste, so they always have to have it in play before their upkeep. So, like, if they go Pearl Ancient into Pearl Ancient, and then they can hit you with one of them, but a Sphinx doesn't live through it. There's a lot of things like that. The deck usually, I haven't seen, the blue-black deck ever beat, the deck without Ashiok, let me say that. Cause there's some blue-black decks like us who had Ashiok, and so we can beat it through that ultimate, but a usual blue-black deck cannot.
So do you think Standard is kind of figured out now? We got the decks that are going to be the main players through Standard, and this is pretty much going to be what it is, give or take some tweaks here or there, or do you think it's going to be like 2 years ago where we'll have like a December shakeup with some innovative decks? Do you think there's room for that?
I think so. I think the red-green decks are going to be more explored, with Mardu being like the semi-answer to Abzan, and Jeskai thinking that they can beat Abzan, which I don't believe personally. I think that Abzan is definitely deck number one, but Mono Red has been shown already to be a real contender. The Jeskai Ascendancy deck is a real thing. If it gets the right matchup or draws right, it can be balanced out sometimes. But, like, I think that we have a very healthy format where almost any deck you play has the ability to win the tournament, which is, I think, is pretty sweet. It's just I enjoy playing Haymaker after Haymaker, and I think I'm going to put down the control life until the next set, even though Jerry Thompson did post a deck on Premium today that was Jeskai count or control, and I might try that out because that looks pretty interesting. But outside of that, Siege Rhino's the dude. I love him.
Hey, Maddie Studios had a Jeskai control deck, and it was actually pretty sick. Elspeth and Sarkons and Clever Impersonators, Banishing Lights, End Hostilities. You got a lot of good cards there you could play with in the control.
Yeah, build. And you get Dig Through Time,
yeah. I think you may even put a Mantis Rider in a control deck because you could shore up a lot of the ground game against some cards, I think. Something to look into. I can't wait to play. I actually got my cards. I recommend anyone, if you want to get into some Moto cards, I think prices are pretty good. Sure, December may be the absolute cheapest, but I think we've hit a good bottom right here. A lot of bulk rares, uncommons, and commons you could get for like two cents, 1 cent for a lot of them. Like there's, I believe, 150 cards you can get playsets of, the complete playset for like $17. If you go to GoatBots, they got the prices there. There's other bots around that got it for there. CardBots a little more pricier. You're going to spend probably double to triple that, but. Yeah, I think it's a good time if you want to buy in. You get a lot of these charts for cheap because you can get an Abs and Charn for 2 cents a piece, or like your dual lands for like 2 cents or 1 cent for the tri-lands, I mean. So you can get a lot of cards, even though they may not be the top contenders right now, there's going to be some fluctuations. So I think buying in now, a lot of cards cheap, and then you could start going up the line to get to more of your high-end, cards. When you get to the top of the line, you're still going to be spending like $200 to $300 to get all the top cards, but you could get a lot of the other cards for really cheap right now on Moto, so it's a good opportunity.
You guys are gonna wear me out trying to get you to say Abzan correctly.
How you say it? Abzan.
Abzan.
Abzan. Abzan.
Yeah, we're from the Abzan. Midwest, so we have to say Abzan. We have a southern
Abzan. I know.
Have a little southern draw.
I said it that way too until I learned the right way. All right, let's move on to an email.
That almost can be prestigious. Coverage members who have.
However, we can all learn to pronounce the name right, so you know there's that.
I can't pronounce normal words right. So.
Well, Marcel maybe is an exception. The rest of you have little excuses. All right, we got an email this week.
That's fine.
It says, "Hey, Brew Crew, love the podcast. After restarting the game during Theros after a 13-year break, I'm solidly in the, quote, trying to have Standard pay for itself camp, end quote. While I'm still getting there, your advice to pick up staples like Downfall, Caryatid, Temples, and Manic Influence to save this Abzan deck from being a wallet-busting experience. Good job. My question is about the Temples. After I made my deck last Standard, I prioritized getting playsets of all the Temples. I'm using some of them for play, obviously, but there are about 28 that aren't in Abzan colors that are just sitting here. What do you think the trajectory for these is moving forward? It doesn't seem like they're seeing any eternal play, so they might crater as soon as they rotate. Should I trade these out now to get more staples or playable cards? If not now, when is the best time to get out of Standard but not eternal playable cards? Thanks again, crew. Dylan in St. Louis. P.S. My pick of the week for the rest of time, Theros is Legal, is at her end. I think the card is almost completely swamped by the Presence of Heroes Downfall, and it will be primed for a jump after it leaves. Jason, feel free to steal this one. I do actually agree with that. It's one of those cards that, you know, we'll target next rotation. But let's get to Dylan's question here about the temples. We've seen some of them go up. Some of them have, you know, kind of not really moved a lot. Where do you think they go from here?
I think they do a lot better in control decks as they, I believe they did good. Moto, the Temple of Alignment was the only one that really kind of got anywhere, but everything else is just not doing anything. And I got a whole bunch of temples and I'm kind of disappointed. So yep.
Don't like red black, don't like red green, don't really like blue green just because the clash pack one is going to be the good one going forward, because people aren't going to care about the temples once they rotate out of standard. So like they're good in EDH, so I don't like the blue green one because the EDH players are going to want the one from the clash pack. So I don't like the white green one necessarily, so it's mostly going to be like the slow ones. The control-y color, the ones like blue, black, well, black, white.
I think we can all agree that they're certainly going to drop pretty hard, you know, in the next 12 months before they rotate. You know, said, we've seen big movement out of a couple of them. Even Temple of Malice has gone up a couple dollars. You know, those ones from Born of the Gods and Journey to Nyx have gone crazy. You know, we saw Temple of Epiphany get expensive. We saw Temple of Malady get expensive. And those weren't too difficult.
Why don't you just like say the colors, because not everybody knows the
name. Green,
names.
Black, and blue, red.
I sure as shit don't.
I do. Alright, Temple of Epiphany is the blue, red one, and Temple of Malady is the green, black one, and they're both over $10. I think that if you're going to target any, I think the ones to target would be the Born of the Gods ones that have not jumped. Temple of Enlightenment, which is the blue, white one, is between $5 and $6 right now, and it hasn't really moved at all since cons came out. If blue white shifts, you know, to a more of a control shell, or you know, they start seeing more play, those could hit $10. I don't really like targeting the ones that were in Theros simply because they were open so much more. But because the ones in Journey have already jumped, I think the Temple of Enlightenment and the others in Born of the Gods may be the way to go. You know, that said, make sure you are rid of all of them by the time next summer starts, because at that point they will be tanking hard.
I think you should get rid of them around February, March, and because that's and holding on whatever ones you can't get rid of. I really think you could probably see some Silence and Deceit out of Theros have some opportunity because that is in the Esper colors, and maybe Triumph if Mardu control becomes something.
Yeah,
so.
Honestly, I think like Jason was saying, a lot of them have already jumped, even if it's not a noticeable amount, like comparatively to Epiphany, you know, and the really expensive ones. But they've all taken a slight jump, and I think they're going to continue that trend. It doesn't take control necessarily. Like, one of the things I noticed when I was playing Absent Control, or Absent Midrange, is that really, the more temples you can get in that deck, the better. Like, you don't want to be able to hinder your ability to have what comes into play, you know, untapped lands. But there's so many times late game where you draw any other land that isn't a temple, and it feels really miserable. And you draw a temple, and it just kind of takes some of that pressure off. Like, it feels fine. And I think I had settled on 8 copies in my list of temples. How many did you end up with?
I have 5 in mine.
5 in yours. So, yeah. I mean, even your mid-range decks are going to be running 4 to 8 copies of temples. So I really think there's a chance for even some of these cheap ones, like the blue-green, as these, you know, more decks progress, and you're going to see a lot of these colors make it into some mid-range or control deck eventually. I think now is a great time to get into those cheap ones from Theros, because if that does happen, that's when you'll see those spike.
I mean, on the one hand, there is something to that. On the other hand, Temple of Triumph, the red-white one, for instance, it already went up, and, you know, you talk about the trend going up. I mean, these cards, they all went up at the Pro Tour, and since then, they've stagnated. And, you know, could they rebound, you know, reverse that and continue going back up? I mean, it's possible. On the other hand, you know, the jump may have already happened. Temple of Triumph went from $3.50 to $5. So that may be all that it goes, because $5 for a non-eternable playable rare land from a large ball set that was open forever is about the norm. They may not go that much farther. I think the time to get in them was when we were talking about them last summer. You know, not necessarily now. I think you just need to temper your expectations. I don't think the ones in Theros, for instance, are going to hit $10. I don't realistically see them going over 6 or 7 at the max, which means that the opportunity, honestly, is probably almost past for the most part. So I think you just need to temper your expectations and realize that what set they're from is probably more important than what deck they're in.
That is correct. Now let's move on to some, we beat this horse into the ground. It's a bloody pulp. But there's some cool stuff to talk about. We're going to move into Jason's world so he can have something to talk about instead of sitting there circle jerking himself. Let's talk about this commander.
You can't have a circle jerk by yourself, man.
Yes, you can.
It's a group activity.
We don't even have to. We don't even have to talk about circle jerks, actually. Right?
We don't talk about commander products either, right?
Commander is a circle jerk. It's nothing but a circle jerk. Go ahead, Jason. This set has me drooling for all the cards I'm going to include into the cube.
Shut up about the cube.
The cube is the only thing that's cool about
EDH,
this commander
which
set.
Which is a group activity, is a circle jerk. Nobody plays cubes. They don't draft each other's cubes. They just like all build their own cube and they just like rub their cubes together. Like, oh,
what are you talking about?
Cube,
I was cubing. Cube, I was cubing cube. Friday.
Cube.
Cubed Friday.
Did you have seven people show up with their cubes and y'all just like took your cubes out and put them on the table?
Yeah, we did. And whoever slammed it on the table the hardest, we got to play that one.
All right. Let's talk about Commander 2014. That's way too much for a 5-minute segment. There's a lot going on. We can talk about the fact that some dickwad spoiled the entire black deck. I'm really not happy with that. So some guy got a hold of the black deck. Went out to his car and took a bunch of grainy cell phone pictures of the deck list and all the new cards. So KYT got a card that was in that deck that was going to be KYT's spoiler, and that guy spoiled it before KYT could. So, you know, like, people that were going to get their first spoilers probably had the same thing that happened to KYT happen. We weren't really... I like that Wizards can control the flow of information, you know, and spoil things at a rate that they want. They're like, all right, let's introduce the concept of Lieutenant now, and let's introduce, you know, the Planeswalker months ago and just get everybody excited. And the fact that somebody kind of preempted the whole thing just really kind of sucks. I think Jet Medallion indicates there'll probably be a cycle of Medallions. I don't think Grave Titan indicates a cycle of Titans. I don't think...
Profane
Command indicates a cycle of commands. I really think that it's just probably going to be a cycle of Medallion, which is, you know, fine. They were expensive, but they're good in EDH, especially mono-colored. There's just a lot of stuff spoiled that, you know, would have been nice to get over the next, you know, kind of week. So that kind of sucks. Cryptghast is in there, and that kind of sucks if you had Cryptghasts. That was a card that got blown out by the reprint. The black deck looks pretty good, actually. There's a lot of the new cards... take stuff out of the graveyard and kind of put it back in. So this deck's really focusing on getting value from pulling stuff in and out of the graveyard. It's a pretty decent deck. I don't know if it's the best one, and I think the Planeswalker is probably the worst one we've seen, so that is going to hurt its upside a bit, I think. So I'm really not happy that it was preemptively spoiled like that.
The green one seems like the winner so far. The Planeswalker looks sweet. Some of the sweeper-type effects in it. They continue to print spells that punish people playing non-basic lands, which on the one hand is not necessarily a fun experience in Commander to have your lands blown up. On the other hand, it's a great way to make these pre-cons competitive with, you know, people's more complicated, you know, not out of the box Commander decks and pushes people towards running more basics, which I actually think is kind of a nice thing. I mean, all of these.
Play Cultivate, you know? Play basics.
All of these, I play about 4 basics. In my 3-color deck, and these cards just wreck those decks of mine. But you know what? While that sucks for me, I think that that's good for the format. It keeps it from being too convoluted.
You missed probably the most relevant card in the green deck, which is the Legend Titania. The 4/4 that when it comes into play, you take a land out of the yard and put it into play, and when a yard goes to your, or when a land goes to your yard, you get a 5/3.
Yeah, that card is pretty cool.
It's probably the build around of the set. So far, it's the card I'm most excited about. The card that I'm probably second most excited about is Dual Caster Mage.
Yeah,
which is a
baby.
1 colorless 2 red, 2/2 with flash, copy a spell. People Hold are talking up. About using...
Who's typing?
You asshole.
Just pull your pants down again. There you go. If everyone doesn't know, we're gonna keep this in the cast. That was Corbin.
He didn't have...
Oh, Jason wants to talk.
I'm a professional journalist. Yeah.
I just want to point out that...
You just want to point out that what? That you're the weak link on this podcast?
I was making sure that I had the name right before I talked about something financially relevant related to Dual Caster Mage.
Hold on.
Is it Heat Shimmer?
It is.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, go buy your heat shimmers, I guess. I don't know. There's no way that gets played in a real format, does it?
I mean, that said, well, heat shimmer's a bulk rare, right? So if you guys don't know, heat shimmer is a sorcery from Lorwyn. It costs 3 mana, it's red. Put a token into play that's a copy of target creature. It has haste, and at end of turn, remove it from the game. So if you cast this and then cast dual caster mage, you just get infinite haste, you dual caster mages and win. I think that it's probably enough to make Heat Shimmer not be bulk anymore. It's a very easy inclusion into people starting out with this mono red commander deck. You know, is it going to be legacy playable? Extremely unlikely. You know, but that said, it's a card that is okay on its own, and now it has an easy combo. It's probably not bulk anymore. I think that's, I don't know how high it would go. I doubt very high, but I don't think it'd be bulk anymore.
So what do you guys think about?
At least pull them out of bulk.
So do you guys think about Wyrmcoil being reprinted?
That's really terrible for people that have Wyrmcoils and really great for people who don't. The Wyrmcoil engine's gonna be in the red deck. For sure. Yeah. I'd stake my reputation on that. Felden's real, real cool. I really like Felden.
He's going in the queue, definitely.
Yeah.
Him and Dualcaster for sure. But that black one, I really, really like that black removal. I think that's really...
Oh, the thing with Morbid that you make a copy of it?
Yeah, like, goodness.
Yeah, it's like a terror with Morbid, and if you trigger Morbid, you can terror a second creature.
Sacrifice Outlet. Oh, I'm going to attack with my Blood-Soaked Champion. You're going to block it? Well, I'll bring it back, and then I'll Morbid take out two guys. I don't know.
Blood-Soaked Champion, huh? You're talking
talking big here. Maybe we could use a little...
Well, Blood-Soaked Champion, you got Sacrifice Outlets.
How about, Grave? What is it? Bloodgast. That would probably be a better idea.
Yeah, I mean, there's Commander 2014. I wrote my article on QS about this concept this week. I want to real briefly say that the new reprint policy that was announced in the wake of the Mind Seizes selling out really kind of puts a damper on the potential of Commander product, as a sealed product advancement. Because I was saying I thought that Power Hungry was going to be, the next Heavenly Inferno. I don't think there's going to be another Heavenly Inferno. Because it took 2 years for Heavenly Inferno to get from 30 to 120. It's now been half that time, and Power Hungry went from 30 to, 22 on eBay. So, they're fire sailing the ones that aren't Mind Seize. So, I think with this new reprint policy and the popularity of Commander, I think there's so much printed that you're not going to want these, as a sealed investment. So if you're looking to buy these, just buy them to play with.
And, I mean, we talked about we were talking today on Twitter about people suggesting, well, maybe Cryptic Command will be in there since Profane Command is. And one of the arguments against that is they don't want to put $50 cards into Commander products because then if you have people, they want the Commander products to go to new Commander plays. They don't want it to go to somebody cracking it for the singles. So I think maybe, a $50 Cryptic is something you won't see. That said, we do have Wyrmcoil Engine going into, like you said, probably the red one, and that's a $20+ card. So there is, a little something to be there. You could still have those price discrepancies between them. I don't know if it will ever be, again, to the level of True Name Nemesis. I don't think they're going to be putting legacy playables into these things.
No,
especially new legacy playables. This card is new to legacy and you have to have it through Commander. But I mean, Wyrmcoil Engine shows they're not scared to reprint expensive cards either. 20 plus as one of 100 cards in the deck is, a sizable amount when these are MSRP $40.
And shameless plug, there's this really cool blue card called Riftworm. And at the end of his chain, he makes 9/9 blue Krakens.
9/9 Kraken tokens, y'all.
And we got some awesome Kraken tokens drawn by RK Post. Some really awesome ones. You can go on Brainstorm Brewery, go to our shop, and then you can buy that along with some other tokens. We even got some soldier tokens for Raymond Perez Jr. there.
Hello!
Pick some of those up as well,
I forgot Ray was on the cast. Because he talked for 10 minutes without taking a breath and that didn't say anything. Did you do a pick of the week? Oh, that's right. You did dump Nissa. Yeah. Nice recap we're doing now.
Yeah, well, so we're going to end up the cast. Oh, no Finance 101. Well, we'll come back next week with that one. We didn't really have a good topic anyway.
Here's your Finance 101. Commander 2014 is going to be awesome, but don't buy it sealed.
So, Ray, where can people reach you at?
They can reach me on Twitter at RayFuturePro. going forward in this week after the article gets or posted, I'm going to be talking on the hashtag Ray for Rookie, making it known just about the scenario. This is all under the assumption that Jared Betcher is banned, and if he's not banned, even then, I think it's still good to have Watsy know about the policy that needs to be changed in general.
Yeah, and Ray for Rookie is going to be Ray with the number 4.
Yep, R-A-Y for Rookie. I would say find me on Facebook, but I have since stopped accepting friend requests from people that I do not know personally. There's a lot of people who I let into my Facebook, and it's my personal space, and they started trolling. And so I have since went through and deleted everyone that I do not personally know. And there's probably a suspended queue of like 200 people that I just won't accept. So do not take offense if you send me a friend request and I don't accept it, because if I don't know you personally, I'm just not going to accept it. Sorry about that.
But you said can subscribe to Ray.
Well, you can. I just don't make anything public. But you can still subscribe to me, I suppose. So I guess if you want to talk to me, the best way to do it would be either in person or on Twitter, because I do respond to a lot of things on Twitter. I go through spurts, but I usually check it at least once a week, if not more. And
spurts.
But yeah, that's the two ways of following me. So go ahead.
Well, there you go.
You're not an Instagram, Ray?
I do not have an Instagram, do not have a Tumblr. I used to be on Modo, but since version 4, I have since quit Modo.
Oh, so, you and everybody else.
So what about Tinder for all the hot ladies that want to get some reaction?
I do, in fact, partake in Tinder.
That's so, a fun app.
Here's that my impression of Ray having a bad night. Oh, hey, Grindr, is this a dating site for people who are trying to get on the pro tour?
My buddy's joined Grindr just to see how many guys he can get to like him. And the stuff that he screenshots is pretty hilarious. So there's certain people out there that do anything for comedy, and he's definitely one of them. Shout out to Chaz Tanner, if he listens. Or as I know him as Charlie, he has since changed his name to Chaz. So.
But there you go. It's Brainstorm Brewery. We got another week of action for you. We're going to come back, hopefully, with another guest if Ryan can line up the people that he said he was going to line up.
I'm working on this. Oh, thanks.
Oh, wait. Can I shout out one more?
Oh, come on.
Well, Jesus. The shout out is to the Brainstorm Brewery itself. You guys have supported me since day one, and I really appreciate everything you guys do for me.
Oh,
jeez. Sorry, Jason. I guess shout out to everyone but Jason, because he gave me a hard time.
I remember when I was still beating you, Ray. Those were good days.
Well, thank you, Ray. We appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, we believe in you, and we're glad that you worked as hard as you did. And, you know, we're sharing some of your success, not nearly what you did, you know, none of that. But, hey. Feel good that you're part of the team, and it feels good that we're here supporting you. That sounds weird, huh?
Yeah, all right. Did you get a cry, Marcel?
I mean, we had one horse in the race, and he looks like he should be the unofficial official rookie of the year, right?
Yeah.
Can't do much better than that, really. Yeah.
There's a reason why I wear the Brainstorm Brewery stuff in my daily life and at tournaments, and people recognize me from there, and I'm always going to support the brand regardless, so, you know.
And we were there early because we made our token last year. So we had support in you before you were 33-point almost gold pro. So
you could just suggest that to them, right? They don't even have to take a new picture for the token.
Yeah, just
they can use.
Just mass produce this one. I got you all.
Making it easy for him.
He's already a 1-1 soldier. Look at that, Wizards. We're trying to make your job easier.
But that was when he was a future pro. So what is he now? Is he a 3-3 beast?
Now he's a future has-been.
Oh,
I'm like, I don't know. A lot of people say, like, okay, are you ever going to change your Moto name? And I'm like, no, I would never do it because I don't play Moto. But even then, I don't know. I think I'm forever going to be a future pro in my head.
I like even that.
I could be a Hall of Famer and I still would be like, no, I'm a future pro still.
I think the name will even be even better and more ironic as you, if you get deeper and deeper and more success.
Yeah, for sure.
So everyone out there, you can be a future pro too. All you gotta do is fucking put everything else aside, spend all your time grinding out magic, and going to every possible event you can, and then one day you could be just like Ray.
Yep. I am not a savant. I've gotten this far because of thousands of hours. So it is definitely possible for anyone that wants to put the time into it.
There you go. Formula of success. Brainstorm Brewery, check us out next week. Peace.
Later.
Alright, that was a good dry run, so you guys want to record the podcast now?
We can be found on GatheringMagic.com and BrainstormBrewery.com.
I'm just going to assume that this worked, and if we have to do it again during Ray's break, it's no big deal. We're just going to do like a quick interview, right? Just get Ray's reaction?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Wait for him to break down in tears so he can call him a woman.
Oh. I broke down in tears, man. I got a headache from crying.
Did you really cry when you were on the phone with me? Because I told you
that. Yeah, dude. I got on the phone with you, and I called my mom, and I was like, is Brendan there? And they're like, can I ask who's calling? I was like, her son? And they're like, oh, yeah, one second.
Wait, isn't her son, like, in his 20s?
Yeah.
No, I'm four.
Like, my mom, she's like, what's wrong? I was like, Mom, I got the invite. I'm going to work. And she's just like, oh, I'm so proud of you. And I was like, oh, no.
You're going to cry again when your fucking job won't let you off.
I'll legitimately. Well, yeah, I've already threatened to quit them multiple times. So, like, if they're like, sorry, we're not sending you a friend, I'm like, okay, I quit. They're like, haha, good time. I'm like,
really? No. How are you going to not give me the time off when today's my last day?
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of which, I ain't even working right now. I'm just going to stay clocked in. You can't even fire me.
Now, if you excuse me, I got some moto to play in a broom closet.
Yeah. I'm going to play in the lobby now. I don't even care.
Well, if you couldn't tell, Ryan and I are here with Ray the Rookie, Ray Perez Jr., who just found out today when I texted him and he called me back that Jared Betcher has been suspended for 46 months by the DCI, his Rookie of the Year has been vacated, and the Rookie of the Year invitational spot to Worlds has passed down to the number two Rookie of the Year and not the pro player at large, Chris Fennell, like we all thought. So, we just kind of wanted to get your reaction to the news, Ray. How are you feeling?
It's absurd. Like, the emotional roller coaster is, it's over, and I've cried. I ain't gonna lie. I just feel really, really strong. I don't know. Like, it makes me just wanna, you know, go to a tournament right now and just, like, show everyone again, like, this is it. Cause, like, the whole point was, you know, I wanted to prove myself on the Pro Tour when I first got there, and then when I lost the race, you know, it just sucked, and now, I guess justice has been served. But up until this point, it was just so stressful, and so much in and out. Yesterday, the article went live, and there's lots of people who are supporting, there's lots of people who are negative, and it was just like, oh man, is this even like the right thing? Did I even do something? I don't know. So it feels good to wake up and see that this is the outcome. Like, even if it wasn't me in particular, like, I would've been content. If they would have been like, okay, well, we can't change the policy. We have to just go with it now, but going forward, like, that would have been a win in my book. Like, I just wanted something to change. And, it's crazy. It's very crazy. I'm still taking it all in.
Now, some people, Brian Kibler included, have said, that passing it to the player at the top of the Rookie of the Year race and not the player at large makes less sense because some people like Neil Oliver that were very close to you might have played more events if they knew they were in the hunt. And you know, they might have called it off because Jared had an insurmountable lead. So that sort of invalidates the second place Rookie of the Year. Did you ever feel like, kind of pumping the brakes and taking it easy because there was no way you were ever going to catch Jared Betcher?
Never that. I mean, at the end of the day, there's still pro clubs and there's still points to get. So, like, even if Jared was so far ahead, like, my goal at that time was, like, okay, well, it doesn't look like I'm going to be rookie anymore because I need so many points and I have to, like, realistically top eight to win the Pro Tour. But there was still, like, hitting gold level pro that you still want to achieve. And I know, like, I think I can't speak on anyone else's half, but, like, for me, it didn't pump my brakes at all just because I still wanted to at least take gold because of my season. And I wanted to end it on a good note and everything. So I don't think that is too valid in my eyes. Well, I can't speak for them, like I said, but I don't see why there's a reason why you're just like, okay, I guess I only got 30 pro points. I'm not going to try and get five more for gold because the rookie race, like, I don't think that's a real thing. But I can see where people think that, though. I can understand that point, too.
The article you're referring to is an article you wrote for BrainstormBrewery.com that went live this week.
Yep.
And there's been mixed reaction to it, but do you think that article and the Ray for Rookie Twitter campaign played a part in Wizards' decision, or do you think this was something that someone like Helene Bergeau specifically has kind of always wanted and maybe the public pressure didn't really have an effect? What do you think?
I don't even know. I don't know what their stipulation is. All I wanted was my voice to be heard, and I know a lot of people told me, in private, like, hey, this is kind of not what you should be doing. You should just let the public handle it and go from there. And like, that's fine, but since it directly involves me, I want it to have my voice heard and I want it to have some say in it. Not more so like saying like the outcome, but just like, hey, this affects me. This is how I feel. I want everyone to see my side. So I'm not sure if it actually influenced them at all, because at the end of the day, WotC's going to do what they want to do. And I don't think there's much that anyone can really do for that. But, you know, it's the most logical thing in my eyes. And that's what really befuddled me in the first place, is I just couldn't fathom how this isn't logical and how this is what they said. It just didn't make any sense. And so hopefully their policy was updated with this announcement. And, you know, going forward, you have some type of precedent set now where it's like, well, this has happened in the past. Hopefully it never does happen, first off, because, you know, this is not something that I wish for anyone to go through. And I don't want to see people being cheated. And I don't enjoy cheaters in the first place. So, you know, like, this is a win in the same, but it's also a loss, because I think Ruben Bressler made a post today about it, and he's like, this is a sad day. And honestly, it is, because, you know, it's a happy day that justice was served, but it's a sad day that it even came to that in the first place. So.
Now, Jared Betcher was told he was Rookie of the Year at PT Portland. Were you at that event?
I was at that event.
So how did that conversation go when you went up to Betcher and told him that you had heard the announcement?
Well, honestly, I didn't even seek him out. He walked up to me with, I don't know if they're still together, his girlfriend or girlfriend at the time or whoever, and he had the award, and, they just showed the interview with him, and we were sitting there team drafting, and I was happy for him because he won, but I was also like, man, that would have been real cool if I was holding it, you know? Like, I gave it my all, and this is a thing, but, you know, daggers will be daggers, and I, like I said, I didn't seek him out personally because, you know, I don't want to put myself through that, but he approached me, and so, you know, I did what I thought was right, and I didn't, like, you know, make a fuss about it or anything like that, and I was just like, hey, man, congrats, you know, like, it is what it is. And I did ask him, though, to hold the plaque, and he let me hold it, and then they all laughed, and then I, like, kind of smirked and just handed it back to him. So I guess I get to hold that plaque now and keep it.
You didn't get a picture of you with the plaque?
I didn't, no. No, it was like we were just team drafting. Like, we were busy at the time. He just kind of, like, walked up and said whatever. And so, I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess I don't know. It's just, I'm still at a loss for words at a lot of things, including this. This is a lot to take in at once.
Looks like a little child on Christmas.
Yeah, well,
like, nearly in tears, but you're also nearly just rolling over laughing the whole time.
No, I mean, it's not even that. It's just, I don't know. I don't know how to act.
Good luck working tonight.
Yeah, I have to go to work in like a mere minutes, and I'm gonna walk in and tell them, like, look, I'm sorry. This is like, everyone at work was pretty invested in me being rookie too, because they all knew how important this was, and they were like really flexible with me, asking for time off for the pro tours, time off for GPs, and they were all like asking me like, well, how's it going? And so when I walked into work after the pro tour and told them like I lost the race, they all just kind of say, oh, that kind of sucks. So what are you gonna do? I told him, honestly, I'm going to take a step back from Magic. Like, it was pretty defeating, and I, like, you know, I'm not going to try and go to as many GPs this year. I'm still going to finish off the next two Pro Tours I was qualified for, but, you know, I wasn't going to put as heavy as an emphasis into it, because it was, you know, it was honestly pretty defeating to give it your all and come up short. And so now, like, this is all just revitalized it. Like, it started with the 50K where I was like, oh man, I could be rookie. And like, clearly my game reflected it. Like, I went on a heater, lost a couple matches, but, you know, like, I top eight at the 50K. And then, like, you know, I got lots of tournaments to go for. And I was going to move on to poker and try and put in a lot of time for that. And now I just called my buddies up and was like, poker is going to wait once again. Like, this is what I need to be doing, and this is what I'm passionate about. So feels good to be doing it.
And how are you going to enjoy Francis coming up?
Oh, man, that's going to be on work. It all depends on work. I'm going to have to walk into work today and show them the article, because sometimes I feel like they don't believe me. They don't, like, no way is this guy going to all these places, and no way is he even, like, who he says he is in this game. So I think the first thing I'm going to do is just walk in and show them the article and be like, read it for yourself, and be like, so what does this mean? How many days can I get off of France?
Well,
so
if you are going to Nice, actually, you can see if France has an equivalent of Buffalo Wild Wings, because Corbin is going to be there as part of the coverage team. So,
oh, that's right. Yeah, we can go to a Sacre Pollo, or I don't know how to say chicken in.
No, you sure don't.
I know that Sacre is sacred, so it can be sacred chicken. But
here's what you do: You you tell Corbin that the French word for chicken wings is tête de veau and have him order that. Tête de veau is a sheep's head.
Nice. No, it's going to be interesting. So hopefully I can go there. I know I found out there's a GP in Strasbourg the weekend before, so I'm going to try and like ask work if they'll be willing to let me go to that since I'm already going to be in the neighborhood. But if not, then I understand. You know,
Strasbourg isn't exactly in the neighborhood of Nice, but I mean,
well, like the neighborhood meaning that like it's in Europe. So
you'll be in the same country. It's probably a nice, pleasant train ride through some beautiful French countryside from Strasbourg to Nice. So enjoy that.
I'll enjoy a baguette, you know, on the way. Maybe watch some French movies. Listen to some Edith Piaf, because, you know, I'm all about that. I have lots of her tracks. Actually, when I stopped in my layover in Paris, I walked around the airport blaring Edith Piaf. And if you guys don't know who that is, that's...
The song from Inception was an Edith Piaf song called Non, je ne regrette rien. I don't regret anything. Do you have any regrets, Ray?
I have no regrets.
See that and fucking segue? That was such a good segue.
It was, I just want to, you know, I want to prove to everyone once again that, like, I know there's going to be people out there that are like, oh, this guy didn't rightfully deserve this and blah, 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 blah. So I'm going to do the same thing I did when I went to the Fresh Pro Tour and they interviewed me there. I'm going to show everyone why I deserve to be there and why, I don't know, why I'm going to try and have to do my best.
All right, so going forward, I think you had said to me, like, at the beginning of last season that you really just, like, you wanted a top eight approach tour, but that your realistic expectations was, like, start with a day two and, like, get there.
Yep.
So now going into Worlds, you know, you have a couple months to repair. What's your realistic expectation? Like, what are you going to be happy walking out of Worlds as your record?
My realistic expectation at Worlds, because it's such a mixed format, is to go 2 over even. So I'm not sure how many rounds we play, if it's 16 rounds or if it's 14 rounds, whatever it is. Whatever 50% is, I want to go 2 over that, and I have to take into account that mixed formats are what I'm very good at. Obviously, that's why I have such good Pro Tour records, because I do really well at Limited, so at Constructed, whatever. But because this is so mixed, I think that there's going to be a good variety and a good chance that I could spike a certain portion of it and then do so in another portion of it and let that portion carry me.
Fair.
So, like, that's my realistic. I like the draft portion, that's normal Limited. I'm going to be fine with VMA. I'm just going to, obviously, I don't know if we can actually practice that. So I'm just going to watch as much videos and read as much stuff on it and talk to as many people. And, you know, I got some people in my holster that are working with me already. So I'm going to definitely do as much as I can to make it easy for them to prep with me, as well as, just take everything for what it is.
Fair. Well, we don't want to keep you for too long. I'll let you go and do your work thing or whatever you want to call it you're going to do tonight.
Anybody
out there, like, you know, you want to give special thanks to, anything you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to give a special thanks to everyone that was on the campaign for, if that's what it was. I guess it's officially a campaign or whatever.
The one-day campaign.
Yeah, the one-day campaign that caused a huge controversy.
Hey, it was super effective.
It was, and, you know, I want to give a shout-out to everyone that, you know, was supporting me. Shout out to the people that were saying negative things, because some of them brought up some very valid points, and, you know, I'm glad it didn't go that way, but you guys are still valid. And, shout out to all you guys, Brainstorm Brewery, you know, all my boys there, because without you guys, like, I mean, I was telling you guys this personally, but without you guys, I don't think a lot of this could have happened. The push for me writing my article, the outlet, the support you guys have shown me since the beginning of the Pro Tours, everything, just all the nights that we've had cracking up, all the nights that you've made me die laughing in my car. I couldn't breathe, Jason. Like, all the times Ryan's, like, you know, put up with everything that I've ever done in my life and the stuff locally. And, like, I don't know, like, the time I met or slept with Corbin in the room and I probably snored, like, a lot of time. You know all about my snoring too, Jason. And, you know, like, there's just tons of stuff. Marcel, all the support and love that he's shown me and, you know, everything. Just, like, all you guys, I really appreciate everything. And this is a win for all of us and not just me. So,
well, we see it that way too, because we get to say that we knew the rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And back then, he was a scrub that I used to beat at F&M.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a win in Michigan again too, like with so many of the pros moving out these past couple of years, Chapin, Ari, and all those guys just leaving, like really Michigan's been devoid of pros as far as like the really high level for about a year or two now, and so it's nice to have somebody back with a big name in the state.
Right.
I mean, we still have a couple of people, but the community hopefully gets a little more revitalized after seeing somebody locally do so well.
Yeah, and I'm not going to let it down. I'm going to use everything how it's supposed to be used and continue to play my fair game. So yeah. We'll see what happens.
Well, that's the most important part, Ray. I think you were rewarded for playing fair. Wizards has really been cleaning house, and I never heard anything about you being, scrutinized at all. I think your play has been beyond reproach this whole year, and we're really glad that you got there fairly and that you got there in the end. So thanks very much for joining us. We know you've got to get going, but, thanks for taking some time out to,
so we can get a reaction. Sorry. Before, because this is a thing that's local. In the Midwest, I have a nickname that's Scumbag Ray, but that name is totally in a joke. Because there's a couple people on my wall who are already saying, oh, Scumbag Ray strikes again. Like, that is not.
Oh, yeah, I said that.
So when people see that and read that, do not take that literally. That was a joke that started years ago, and, it's never been that. So just so people, because I know, people are going to be like, oh, look at this guy, he's a scumbag. No, that is clearly a joke from the Midwest.
The most ironic nickname ever.
Just to clear that up, because, I think people are going to be, maybe scrutinizing more stuff. So there we go. Public record. It's a joke. Talk to any of my friends, and they'll get it.
Man, if anybody asked me, I'd be like, no, man, he used to cheat at F&M all the time. I'm surprised he didn't get caught. He taught me how to do that shuffle. Years ago, he was showing me how to do that shuffle, and I was like, I don't think I want to do that, Ray.
I invented that shuffle, don't you know?
I'm kidding. Ray is too uncoordinated to be able to do that shuffle. I've watched this
Ray can't even regular shuffle.
Yeah, no, people trying to ask me board states all the time, what if you did this? And I was like, I got nothing, man. I'm blanked out half the time I'm playing Magic. I'm focusing on one turn at a time, and I can't remember nothing. So, it's hard. So, I don't know. It is what it is. But, yeah, all right. Well, thank you, guys. I'm going to go ahead and get on out of here.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Ray. We're all proud of you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.